Hello, beloved. Welcome to my study of the Book of Titus. At the end of this study, I'm going to be announcing the winner of the notebook journal, the spiritual notebook journal. I'm also going to be giving away a second journal in the last podcast of this study of the Book of Titus. And so briefly, before we get started, I'm going to do a brief study on how to rightly divide the word of God according to 2 Timothy 2:15. God wants us to rightly divide, to know how to rightly divide his word. And then I'm also going to go into an introduction into the Book of Titus. So I'm just going to talk about who wrote it and what it's about. Okay, so you might want to grab your Bibles for that. But before we begin, I want to go to God into a word of prayer quickly. So bow your heads with me in prayer. Holy Father God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day and huge opportunity to teach your children some of your word and how to apply it to our lives and help us to understand and study your word. Please guide me in this study, direct my steps, give me the wisdom to rightly divide and understand your word and to teach it properly to those who are listening in. Please continue to bless us, forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, forgive and bless greatly anyone who sinned against us. Thank you for your countless blessings in our life. Please comfort us, direct our steps, heal those who need to be healed, and comfort and strengthen those who are grieving. We're going through a lot of chaotic times today, as you know, and so please comfort those who need comfort and wisdom and guidance and help in every way, shape, and form, especially spiritually. Please continue to bless us spiritually and open our hearts and eyes to your word. I pray that we accept your word as it's taught, and I pray I just teach it in a way that's pleasing, acceptable in your sight, rightly divided. Be with us in the guidance of this study and just bless everybody here on the call, them and their families. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you above all for Jesus, the Holy Bible, the Holy Spirit, our names written in heaven and standard. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for listening to us and answering this prayer. We know it's not in vain. In Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior, born of a virgin, we thank you and say amen. Okay, so if anyone have any questions or anything on this study, please let me know. Please let me know. I'm going to be speaking in general on this. And so please keep that in mind, as there's always some if, and, or buts. And so please keep that in mind. I'm going to be speaking in general here. Okay. But if you have any questions or anything, let me know. You can email me at terrytemple7@gmail.com. Go to my website, terrytemple.org. Everything is on there. It's on there. You can also follow me on YouTube under Terry Temple for some of my video studies. And follow me on the THEE Godly Woman on Twitter if you like. And so basically the Bible is divided into two main categories. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Today we are under the New Testament of Jesus Christ. The whole world is under the New Testament of Jesus Christ. Whether they realize it or not, that's what's going on today. And so it's very important to know how to rightly divide the word of God, because if we don't, we can be misled, or we can mess up or misapply God's word to our lives. And I know we don't want to do that. None of us here want to do that. And I don't think most people want to do that. I don't think anyone wants to do that that's taking time to study the Bible and apply it to their lives. None of us want to be misled. And so we have to be careful the application can be misapplied. We can misapply it. And so putting things together in an improper manner can mess it up. It's like making a cake. For those of you who like making cakes or are good in the kitchen. And so if you make a cake, if you put it together the wrong way, then you can mess the cake up. And so if you put the flour in there and you stir it all up and you put the milk or the water in it, water, and then you stir it all up and then you just stir up the eggs and put the eggs on top and put in the oven. As we all know, that cake's going to be jacked up. It's going to be a jacked up cake. And so it's very important to know how to apply God's word in our lives. It's very important. And so basically the Bible is divided into two main categories. As I said, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament begins in the book of Genesis and it ends in the book of Malachi. Much of the Old Testament is written for the Jews, or God's chosen people at that time, which was the nation of Israel, and the commands and the ordinances therein is to them. is to them. But as we know, the book of Genesis, it starts with the account of the creation. And so the Old Testament is a book for our learning. We can look back and see how God dealt with his people back then, how they worshiped him and everything. And so when we come over to the New Testament, it's a little bit different, not totally different, but it's a little bit different. And so the New Testament begins in the book of Matthew all the way through the book of Revelation. And so all of the laws that God wants us to obey in the Old Testament, they are carried over into the New Testament. So, for instance, like with the Ten Commandments, a lot of people think the Ten Commandments apply to us today. But if you look in there, if you go to Exodus chapter 18, you will see that Moses was talking to the nation of Israel. He was talking to them. However, the laws that are in the Old Testament, not just Ten Commandments, but the laws and the ordinances and all those things that are in the Old Testament that God wants us to obey today, they are carried over into the New Testament. For instance, two of the laws, I'll just name two of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Those are carried over into the New Testament. And we can read those in the New Testament where the Bible says it's a sin to kill or to commit adultery. And so, of course, there's other laws too that carried over. Okay, but one of the huge differences with the New Testament is that we're also under spiritual laws, not only physical. And so, for instance, to kill someone in the Old Testament is a sin. It's also a sin in the New Testament. But in the New Testament, Jesus told us that we also can't be angry. He doesn't want us unjustly angry with someone, and that if we're very angry with someone unjustly, very angry, that it's like killing the person. Okay. But spiritually. And so that's a lot of the differences in the New Testament. So I can't go into detail with that. I don't have the time permitting, but I'm just hoping that kind of helps you understand where Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, that you committed adultery in your heart. So that's the point. That's another point that I'm trying to make, where in the Old Testament, you had to literally carry out the act. Okay, so I hope this makes sense. And so the book of Acts is how the church began. I'm in the New Testament now. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you have the book of Acts. The book of Acts is how the church began, and it's very important to church leaders to learn how to organize the church today, and so how we can be saved. And so it teaches us the steps to be saved in there, and how the church was organized, and also how to worship God today. And so if we go to the Old Testament to try to learn how to worship God, then we may be misled. We're going to be misled because that's for the nation of Israel. But today, under the New Testament of keyword Jesus Christ, he tells us how to worship God today when we read down through there from the book of Acts all the way through to the book of Jude. Okay, and so that's why the New Testament is so important. That's why it's there, and that's why God gave it to us. And so the book of Romans through Jude, this tells us how to live. It mainly tells us how to live as Christians. It is referred to as the apostles' doctrine. Basically, it is what Jesus told the apostles to tell us. Much of it is written by the apostle Paul. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Okay, and so then we have the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They basically give an account of Jesus' ministry from four different perspectives while he was here on earth. And it was mainly for the Jews. Jesus came for the Jews. His main purpose in those four Gospels was trying to convince the Jews that he was the Messiah, the long awaited Messiah. That's what the Gospels is about. This is why he performed the miracles and everything that he did there. He was trying to convince them, and he was telling the people. But a lot of the Jews, most of the Jews, they didn't believe him, and they missed it. They missed the Messiah. They missed the Messiah that they had been waiting on for so long. So many of them, they missed him. They didn't even believe it, that he was him. That Jesus was the Messiah. And a lot of them are still waiting. Most Jews are still waiting today for the Messiah to come. Isn't that sad? And so the book of Revelation is an account of how the world or time ends and what will happen during it and after in eternity. That's what the book of Revelation is about. It's a beautiful book. Beautiful. I love reading it. I've read it 4 or 5 times, probably more. I just love it. God finally opened my eyes one day. I think the last time I read it. And every time I read it, it's like I see stuff I never saw before. And so it's a beautiful book, the book of Revelation. You definitely want to read it. And there's nothing to be afraid of. It's a beautiful book. And so let me show you right fast on how I was saying that. I have to back up what I'm saying. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. You have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So let's go to Deuteronomy. Go to the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy if you have your Bibles. I just want to show you how this was written to, it was not written to us today. So this is the King James Version's, the 5th book of Moses called Deuteronomy. I'm reading from my parallel Bible. So there's King James Version on one side of the page and the NIV on the other side. And so verse 1 reads, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab." Okay, so that's verse 1. So notice, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel." So this is what Moses told to Israel. This is for the Israelites. Okay, so now go with me into the New Testament, to the book of Romans. Go to Romans all the way to your right. Let's go to the first chapter, and my parallel says at the top, King James Version, the epistle of Paul the apostle to the Romans. Verse 1 says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God." Then if you go scroll down all the way to verse 7, it says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." So he is talking to the church. He's talking to Christians. Christians today are referred to as saints in the Bible. So if you're a Christian, you're a saint. The Bible calls you a saint. God wants you to be a saint. You are a saint. Okay. And so this is who he's talking to. Verse 7, "To all that be in Rome." Do you notice it doesn't say Israel? Like we just read in Deuteronomy. Did you notice it doesn't say Israel? It said to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So that's who he's talking to the saints that are in Rome. Let's also go to Ephesians. So turn to your right to Ephesians. And so Ephesians, the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Ephesians, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus." It doesn't say to Israel, to the nation of Israel, to all Israel. It says to the saints that are Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's talking about Christians. Christians are followers of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say Israel. Okay, so I hope this is opening your eyes. And so when you go back and you read the Old Testament, as you go through there, that is what you should notice when you read in there. Who is it talking to? Even if we go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying," and then you keep reading down, verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." So this is for Israel, but like I said, the Old Testament is for our learning. And so, and we can learn a lot from there. We can learn how God talked to and dealt with his people and how they worshiped him. Okay, so I hope this is helping you to open your eyes on how to divide the word of God. And so there's a lot of confusion in the religious world today because people are trying to follow the Old Testament. They're trying to apply to their lives things that Jesus did not tell us to do. Jesus didn't tell us to do everything Jesus wants us to do today. He told to the apostles, and we could read that in the book of Acts. But he told to the apostles, and they wrote it in their letters. And much of the letters was written by the apostle Paul. And one of the main reasons was because Paul was considered an apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, so there's a lot of confusion in the world because people don't know how to rightly divide. So it's very important. Also, not rightly dividing, it can cause us to either be too loose or too tight with the word of God. We can either be too loose or too tight with God's laws or principles that apply to us today. And so some people, some churches, some church leaders, Bible class teachers, preachers, I don't care what church you go to, some of them are telling us things that don't apply to us. And then some of them are telling us things that probably apply or may not apply, either to or not apply to us. And so that's why we want to know the word of God, so that we can read it for ourselves. Okay. And so if this is very good news to probably half of you that are listening, but it's important. It's imperative so that we can know, you know, how to apply God's word to our lives, and we can know what we can please God. It's hard to please God if we don't know what he wants us to do. And so if I'm trying to do what God told Joshua or Moses or Noah, then I'm not going to be able to please God, because I'm doing what he told them as Jews. When I'm a Christian, I'm a Gentile. Everybody today is a Gentile. Today, the Jews, they're only Jews by ancestry, but they are not God's chosen people today. Today, God's chosen people are Christians. Okay, so it's very important to apply God's word to our lives so we will be guided by the Holy Spirit. And so when we know, when we do, when we obey what we know, when we apply to our lives what we know, God will open our eyes and reveal to us what we don't know. Okay, so that's why it's so important. I just remember the reason I know with all my heart that I'm blessed with studying, with teaching the word of God, with understanding it and applying it. It's all by the grace of God. I'm still learning. I haven't arrived where I know it all, but I know a lot. And it's because I remember when I was 18 years old, I tried to read the Bible. I was a newlywed. And I was having marriage problems, and I wanted to read the Bible. I knew it was the answer in there for me. And I just started crying because I didn't even know how to pray to God. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't raised in the church. And so I didn't even have a good relationship with God. I just knew God existed. And I just knew he existed, and I wanted to have a relationship with him and everything, but I didn't know how. And mainly at that time, I didn't know how to read the Bible. And so I just started crying. And about 2 to 3 years later, God opened my eyes. Someone invited me to church to a very good in-depth Bible study that taught me how to rightly divide the word of God. And from then forth, I know how to rightly divide, and it's very, very helpful. Very helpful, because then we know what applies to us and what's don't. And so I hope that has helped you understand what applies to us today, which Old Testament or New Testament, what applies to us. And so when we just keep studying and praying, like I said, and applying God's word, what we do know, he will open our eyes to what we don't know. Okay, it kind of reminds me of the centurion and how, I think it was Cornelius in the New Testament, and how the Bible says he was a man of God. He was doing good things and he had a good heart and everything. And God sent Peter, I believe it was Peter, to teach him about Jesus, because he was a Jew. He was a practicing Jew. I don't know if he was Jewish, but he was a practicing Jew. He may have been a Gentile, but he was practicing the Jewish religion of Judaism. But God knew his heart, and he sent Peter to teach him the truth, and him and his whole household were baptized. Isn't that beautiful? And so I have no doubt that's what happened to me, and that will happen to any of us today if we just give God our heart, and he will lead us and guide us into all truth. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so like I said, if you have any questions or anything, let me know. Okay, so now let's go to let me do my introduction of the book of Titus. And so just want to do a brief introduction on that. And then next week, we'll actually do chapter one. We'll actually study chapter one, but we need to know what it's about. So I'm going to be reading briefly from the NIV version, because they have some good notes. Like I said, I have the parallel Bible. I love the King James, but the King James, ha ha ha, was not the first Bible written. For those who don't know, you had the Septuagint, the Hebrew Bible, and all that. So the King James didn't come about till years later, but I really believe that it is the most accurate version of God's word. I really do. I believe the King James version, and I prefer it, and I use it. It's my backup Bible always. Okay, so let's do Titus. Okay, so like I said, if you have any questions or anything, let me know. Okay, so I'm going to be reading here. I'm reading from the Life Application Study Bible. It's the introduction on the book of Titus. It's on page 2049. So Titus is an entire book or letter showing the importance of prioritizing and training members to be leaders in the church. That's what it is. That's my summary of what the book of Titus is about. I have that written in my notes, okay? So the vital statistics. So the purpose, this is according to the Life Application Study Bible, the NIV version, which is pretty accurate so far. Okay, so the purpose of Titus is to advise Titus in his responsibility of supervising the churches on the island of Crete. The author is Paul. The original audience was Titus, a Greek, probably converted to Christ through Paul's ministry. He had become Paul's special representative to the island of Crete. The date written, it was approximately AD 64, around the same time 1 Timothy was written. Probably from Macedonia when Paul traveled between his Roman imprisonments. Setting. It's Paul. Paul sent Titus to organize and oversee the churches on Crete. This letter tells Titus how to do his job, or how to do this job. The key verse is, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. That's chapter 1, verse 5. The key people are Paul and Titus. The key places is Crete and Nicopolis. Special features, Titus is very similar to 1 Timothy with his instructions to church leaders. And so now I'm going to read their little write-up that they have on it. The vacuum produced when a strong leader departs can devastate a movement, organization, or institution. Having been dependent on his or her skill, style, or personality, associates and subordinates flounder or vie for control. Soon efficiency and vitality are lost, and decline and demise follow. Often this pattern is repeated in churches. A great speaker or teacher gathers a following, and soon a church is flourishing. It is alive, vital, and effective. Lives are being changed and people led into the kingdom. But when this person leaves or dies, with him or her goes the drive and the heart of the organization. People flock to hear Paul's teaching. Educated, articulate, motivated, and filled with the Holy Spirit, this man of God faithfully proclaimed the good news throughout the Roman Empire. Lives were changed and churches begun. But Paul knew that the church must be built on Christ, not on a person. And he knew that eventually he would not be there to build, encourage, discipline, and teach. So he trained pastors to assume leadership in the churches after he was gone. On there, I have a note. It says, the NIV says, so he trained young pastors, but I believe he trained older pastors, but that's another lesson. Okay, so Paul urged them to center their lives in preaching on the word of God. That's in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, and to train others to carry on the ministry. 2 Timothy 2:2. Titus was a Greek believer, taught and nurtured by Paul. He stood before the leaders of the church in Jerusalem as a living example of what Christ was doing among the Gentiles. Galatians 2, 1 through 3. Like Timothy, he was one of Paul's trusted traveling companions and closest friends. Later, he became Paul's special ambassador and eventually the overseer of the churches on Crete. Slowly and carefully, Paul developed Titus into a mature Christian and a responsible leader. The letter to Titus was a step in this discipleship process. As with Timothy, Paul told Titus how to organize and lead the churches. Paul begins his letter with a longer than usual greeting and introduction, outlining the leadership progression. Paul's ministry, Titus' responsibilities, and those leaders whom Titus would appoint and train. Paul then listed pastoral qualifications and contrasts faithful elders with the false leaders and teachers. Next, Paul emphasizes the importance of good deeds in the life of the Christian, telling Titus how to relate to the various age groups in the church. He urges Titus to be a good example of a mature believer and to teach with courage and conviction. He then discusses the general responsibilities of Christians in society. Titus should remind the people of these, and he should avoid divisive arguments. Paul concludes with a few matters of itinerary and personal greetings. Paul's letter to Titus is brief, but it is an important link in the discipleship process, helping a young man grow into leadership in the church. As you read this pastoral letter, you will gain insight into the organization and life of the early church, and you will find principles for structuring contemporary churches. But you should also see how to be a responsible Christian leader. Read the letter to Titus and determine, like Paul, to train men and women to lead and teach others. And so, especially particularly for us women in the church, as we know, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 tells the women their duties and responsibility in the church. Okay, and so I'm still reading the notes in the Life Application Study Bible. I'm on page 2050. And so the blueprint is the leadership in the church, right living in the church, and right living in society. Paul calls for church order and right living on an island known for laziness, gluttony, lying, and evil. The Christians are to be self-disciplined as individuals, and they must be orderly as people who form one body, the church. We need to obey this message in our day when discipline is not respected or rewarded by our society. Although others may not appreciate our efforts, we must live upright lives, obey the government, and control our speech. We should live together peacefully in the church and be living examples of our faith to contemporary society. So that's the blueprint. And the mega themes. The mega themes are a good life, character, church relationships, and citizenship. So, explanation. The good news of salvation is that we can't be saved by living a good life. We are saved only by faith in Jesus Christ. And so I add that the good news of salvation is that we can't be saved by living a good life alone. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ also, or primarily. But the gospel transforms people's lives so that they eventually perform good deeds. Our service won't save us, but we are saved to serve. Importance: a good life is a witness to the gospel's power. As Christians, we must have commitment and discipline to serve. Are you putting your faith into action by serving others? Character: Titus' responsibility in Crete was to appoint elders to maintain proper organization and discipline. So Paul listed the qualities needed for the eldership. Their conduct in their homes revealed their fitness for service in the church. Importance: it's not enough to be educated or to have a loyal following to be Christ's kind of leader. You must have self-control, spiritual, moral fitness, and Christian character. Who are you? Who you are is just as important as what you can do. Church relationship. Church teaching must relate to various groups. Older Christians were to teach and to be examples to the younger men and women. People of every age and group have a lesson to learn and a role to play. Right living and right relationships go along with the right doctrine. Treat relationships with other believers as an outgrowth of your faith. Citizenship. Christians must be good citizens in society, not just in church. Believers must obey the government and work honestly. Importance. How you fulfill your civic duties is a witness to the watching world. Your community life should reflect Christ's love as much as your church life does. Okay, and so Crete is on the map. It looked like it is north of Jerusalem. I'm going to say north, east of Jerusalem. And it's below Rome and Athens, but above Jerusalem. It's an island. Looks like a nice sized island in the Mediterranean Sea. That's where it was. And so Titus goes to Crete. Tradition says that after Paul was released from prison in Rome, before his second and final Roman imprisonment, he and Titus traveled together for a while. They stopped in Crete, and when it was time for Paul to go, he left Titus behind to help the churches there. Okay, and so we'll start, and I'll go into detail in the next lesson with chapter 1. And so I'll read over it, the King James and the NIV, and then go into detail on the King James so we can properly apply it to our lives and understand what it means and what it's saying. Okay, Lord's will. So we'll be doing that, Lord's will, next Thursday. Okay, so join me here, and I hope this has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions or anything, don't hesitate to let me know. And so right now, let's go to prayer. I want to go into prayer with you to God as we depart today. Oh, let me also, before we pray, I want to announce the winner of the Bible. The winner, not Bible, the winner, Barbara Cotton won the Bible. The winner of the spiritual notebook is, drum roll, Deborah Johnson. Deborah Johnson. She signed up for the podcast, and so her name was on the list. And Deborah Johnson, congratulations, you won the notebook, the spiral notebook. So please message me on Facebook. I'll message you too with your contact information so I can send that beautiful spiral notebook to you. I'm probably going to get myself a copy too. It's really nice. And I'm going to be giving away another one on the last podcast of this study of the book of Titus to those who signed up. So I'm just doing this randomly. It's random the way I'm picking the winners is randomly. Okay. So just let you know that is random. Okay. So if there's nothing else, so I just want to go into God in prayer. That went pretty fast. I thought I was going to talk a lot longer. That was 30 minutes. Okay, so some of you are probably saying, yeah, it was long to us, but I just love the Bible. I just can't get enough of reading the Word of God. I just love the Bible. I have been kind of having a lot of headaches lately. I was watching too much TV, quote unquote, TV stuff on my TV. You know how you have to read every day with YouTube and a lot of the stuff you have to read. I don't know, I'm old school. You know, back in the day, we just turned the TV on and flipped the channel. We didn't know what nothing was about. We just, whatever we came upon, we came upon. Well, today you get to read everything that you want to watch. And so all that reading is gives me, it's kind of strains my eyes. And so I had been looking at too much stuff on there, especially when I broke my foot and I was kind of not disabled, but just you know, not able to get around as much as I wanted to. And well, maybe I was disabled, I guess, when you break your feet on, maybe you are disabled. But anyway, that was a while ago. So God has healed me. I'm so grateful. But anyway, all that sitting around, and so I was just like praying to God about it, complaining about these headaches. I'm like, Lord, you know, I love to read my Bible. If I can't read my Bible every day, it's like I only want to live. I want to be able to read. I just love, 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 love the Bible. I'm so grateful God has blessed me with the understanding of His words. A huge, huge, huge blessing. Huge blessing. To be able to read the Bible. It's just, I just love the Bible, all of it, all of Genesis to Revelation. And so I was having these headaches, and I wasn't able to read the Bible as much as I wanted to, and it really made me sad. And so just recently, God, He revealed to me I was hurting my eyes looking at that TV, that monitor, too much. And so I was able to back away from that, and thank God I'm able to read my Bible more. I'm just so grateful, and because I just love the Word of God and studying His Word, and I love teaching. It really is my calling to teach, be a teacher, whether it's a school teacher or a Bible class teacher, is my favorite. And so it's really is a labor of love, and it's God's purpose for my life to teach women, and I love it. And so I hope this has been a blessing to you all. And I'm still learning and growing. We all are. And so don't give up on yourself. Don't give up. We all mess up. We all stumble and fall. And just keep your eyes on Jesus. He'll help lift you up. And if you ain't able to keep your eyes on him, ask him to lift you up. Ask for help. Just never give up on God. There's nowhere to go. Satan tries to tempt us to give up on God, but I'm just reminded of what Peter said. I think it was Peter, and he said, where are we going to go? Ain't nowhere else to go. Some of the Jesus disciples, they left him when he was telling them they had to drink his blood and eat his flesh. They said a lot of them left. And I think it was Peter, and he said, and Jesus said to him, he said, you going to leave too? And Peter looked at him and said, where are we going to go? And that's the exact way he said verbatim, but he said, where are we going to go? And that's the way I feel. I ain't nowhere else to go. I don't have nowhere else to go. I'm sticking with the Lord. I ain't got nowhere else to go. I don't want to go nowhere else because God is, he's just all in all. God not only has the answer for us, he is the answer. God is love and God loves you. God loves us. He cares about everything that we're going through. Through this chaotic world, God cares. God loves us. God is not like, in general, he's not like the people around us that's indifferent. God cares about every detail of our lives. He cares. God is love. He is great. He overflows with compassion for you, for us. God loves us. And so whatever we're going through, God wants to help us through it and comfort us and strengthen us. And God is so amazing. He shows us how strong we are. He reveals the strength that he put in us. And so never give up on God. Never give up on God. And so he loves you and he's worth following. Anything worth having is worth following and not giving up on. And that's God. He's just great and wonderful. He's just too magnificent for words. And so we just say the little words we can say, but we know, those of us who know God, he's just amazing and he's just everything. He's everything to us. Holy Father God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Lord, for opening my eyes and blessing us to be able to study your word. Please, Lord, I pray that we apply what we have learned to our lives. I pray those who don't know how to rightly divide your word and just learning today, Lord, please help them take this in. I pray they don't give up on your word and your truth and guide them, Lord. We all need to be guided. Please guide us. Continue to guide us through your spirit. Purify our heart. I pray we have a heart to obey you. Pray we obey you and want to obey you. Pray we all love you, fall in love with you. Pray we all love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love our neighbors, ourselves. And I pray we even love ourselves and take care of ourselves in a healthy manner. And I pray we all, everyone who's listening, seek and serve you wholeheartedly and seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Not our own, but your own. Thank you for your countless abundant blessings in our life. Thank you for food, clothes, and shelter, and water, and fresh air. Thank you, Lord, you bless us in so many ways we can't even count how much you've blessed us. There's so many blessings throughout our whole life, Lord. And I just thank you. We thank you in advance for your blessings. And it's just a huge opportunity to study your word in the book of Titus. Thank you for the book of Titus. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you above all for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, born of a virgin. Thank you for him, the Holy Bible, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross so we could have a relationship with you. I pray that we don't take it for granted. I pray we never take it for granted. And that we seek you each day. Seek you while you could be found. Thank you for loving us and caring about us. Continue to guide us through the remainder of the week and until the next lesson. Guide us, direct our steps, bless us and our family. Protect our families. Thank you for blessing us. And continue to bless our families, our children, our siblings, parents, nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts and uncles, all our families, and bless the church here in the United States and all over the world. Bless the church, especially the church and all the turmoil going around the world, the wars and everything, Ukraine, Africa, just everywhere. Bless the church, especially the church, Lord, and just everyone. Bless everyone. Thank you for caring about your creation all over the world. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us and continue to purify our heart. I pray we live a life of things, a life of love, and be a blessing wherever we go. In Jesus' name, we thank you in advance for listening to us and answering this prayer. We thank you in his name, precious name. Amen. So thank you, ladies, for joining me on the study of the book of Titus. I look forward to studying with you and hearing from you. If you have any questions or prayer requests, I look forward to hearing from you. May God, our Holy Father in heaven, continue to bless you so that you may always be a blessing wherever you go. Chat with you later next week. Bye-bye.